Hello and welcome back to another episode of On a Related Note Podcast. I am once again Mecca.
And I am once again Mia.
And we're just going to get right back into this. This is the second part, as you can tell by how we're dressed, of our Barbie villain ranking video.
You are in a different week, but we are in the same hour.
Yes. The same 15-minute span. So we left off with Ariana from Barbie as the Island Princess. So we are moving on to Barbie and the Diamond Castle with its villain, Lydia. We don't really have a lot about her.
Because her plan was really straightforward.
Yeah. But she was still, it was still enough to like make it worth watching, but it was straightforward. She was one of the three muses.
Diamond Castle.
Yes, of the Diamond Castle. But she wanted to be the only one. So the other two, Dory and Phaedra, thought that music was for everyone, but Lydia didn't, and that made her mad. So she left the castle and conveniently found an ancient cave full of magic and transformed her flute into an evil flute and became a villain.
So there were three muses and she was one of them. And then all that, what she just said happened. But there was an apprentice muse named Melody. And Melody was kind of like a witness to it all. And she also tried to stop Lydia, but Lydia was like, you're next. So Melody fled the scene and hid herself in this woman's mirror using her own magical flute and has been evading Lydia's watch for a while.
Yeah, we have to actually backtrack. So when Lydia left the castle, the muses hid the castle. Mm-hmm. Like they veiled it. So Lydia didn't know where it was.
Well, the muses were already, they couldn't do anything because they were petrified at that point, right? Or did she come back and petrify them?
I think when she found the castle, she petrified them then. But I could be misremembering, but...
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. So they had that fight. She stormed out. She somehow found this cave that was just so conveniently in her grasp. And then she came back. And the muses were, like, trying to reason with her. But then she enchanted them and turned them into stone. And then Melody hit the castle. Because her song was the one that was able to reveal the castle.
Right.
So because she wasn't one of the muses yet. So Lydia was really, I guess, only attacking the muses. But Melody was still physically there. She was like, what do I do? And Lydia was like, let me take care of you. So she hit the castle and then hit herself. And she has been just evading Lydia and her animal companion Slider, who...
Funky looking dragon.
I know he stink. Like, I don't know. He just look nasty. Like, he was like vaguely slimy. Like, you would touch him and it would just be like kind of sticky. Like, ew. But yeah, her evil power throughout the movie was her new enchanted evil flute that when she uses it on people, it either hypnotizes them and she can force their will to do whatever, or it petrifies them, or just basically curses them. It's just a flute of curses. So her crimes include mass hypnotism of
hypnosis.
Hypnosis of like this tavern full of people.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like they were actually the two protagonists. I'm trying not to get too deep into the plots for these movies because that's not really the point, I guess. But and then I'll be like another like 2 hours, but because I could yap about Barbie movies. But the two protagonists had crossed through this tavern. So she came and was like, I heard that there were some girls that had a mirror and there's a girl in the mirror that I want. So tell me where they went. And low key, the tavern people were homies because they didn't reveal that they went out back or whatever. But then she was like, then I'll just get what I want another way. And she hypnotized them and was like, tell me where they went. And he was like, out back by the ravine or whatever. And she was like, yes. So and then there was another thing that she had set up. These were real people, but she had set up this whole plan of the married couple in a manner, providing the protagonist everything they could have ever wanted. But one girl was like, but we have to help Melody destroy Lydia and get the castle back. And the other girl was like, but I'm trying to live a comfortable life. We've been eating bread and jam and bread for like 10 years. So like, I'm staying. And so that broke them up, which was part of Lydia's plan so that she could like get Melody. So I guess her crimes include, there was no attempted murder here. I guess Barbie took a break. but there was just straight up she's, I don't know, imprisoning people in their own minds. Like, they can't do anything.
Just so she,
like,
could take power.
Yeah, like, I guess they just be forever hypnotized as long as she's alive.
But you know, my thing was, why did she want to be the only muse?
They didn't really explain that very well.
Like it was kind of silly.
Like, the explanation part, the backstory was just, they were all happily playing music, and then out of nowhere, she just stood up and was like, I want to be the only muse. And they were like, well, we're here for the people. We're not here for us. This is a selfless job. And she was like, but I want it. So did she just want to have control of music?
I guess.
Because, like, it didn't seem like she cared about music throughout the whole movie. It was just like a power thing.
Yeah.
So I was confused by her. Like, her motive made me a little confused, but it was the fact that she was just straight up spreading her evil that we considered her to be a villain.
I feel like she's going like to be low here. Like, she might be honorable mentions. Not
yeah,
really think
like
about
number
it.
10 or honorable mentions for now. Just because, like, yeah, if there was like a sequel to this movie and she came back and elaborated on her evil, then I might consider it more. But there's no sequel.
And because they wrapped it up in the end.
It wouldn't have been a sequel anyway. But
yeah,
if it was like a Fairytopia situation and she had time to explain herself, like, maybe. But
I will say, so I'm going to put her at 11.
Okay.
Is that all right? And I want to mention the only other bullet point that we have up here was her animal sidekick Slider. A quote from him saying, nothing like a sad ending.
Gosh.
Like, yikes.
He was annoying and ugly.
So moving on from that, we have Barbie Mariposa and her butterfly fairy friends. And
long title.
Yes. And the villain here is Henna. So she was an attendant to the queen, but she wanted total power. This surprise is, here.
Yeah.
If you're finding a theme here with Barbie,
take a shot how many times they want to overthrow a queen and take their power.
Right. So we have quite a few bullet points for her. She was secretly concocting a poison of legend called Ilios. And since it was a legend, nobody would believe that somebody was using Ilios, which was, you know, what she was banking on. So that also meant that nobody would be searching for an antidote because they don't even believe the thing.
They didn't believe it was real.
Right. So Henna was also using a really bright light made from Ilios and thistle burst, which is like a naturally luminescent thing that they had already, right?
It was like a flower.
Yeah.
Like, think of thistle. It was just a thistle, but they called it thistle burst.
Right. So she poured Ilios on it and it made it like super bright. So the like evil animals or evil creatures in this universe or this movie is they're called Skeezites. And they do not do well in the light. And yes, they eat butterfly fairies.
They also eat butterfly fairies, which is what they all are.
So Flutterfield is the like setting here. And Flutterfield is surrounded by lights to keep Skeezites away. So Henna made a super bright light so that she can keep Skeezites in check, but still use them. Like anytime that they thought that they were like, you know what, we don't want to deal with her anymore. We're just going to whatever. She would pull out this like stadium light and it will subdue yeah. them. Pretty so much. She theoretically was planning on leading them to Flutterfield after the queen, after she poisoned and killed the queen. And then they would eat every butterfly fairy, which I guess I feel like she probably was pulling an Ariana and she like what she did with the rats. She was like, do my bidding. And then she only gave them one piece of cheese because like who would she rule right, over like, if all of the butterfly fairies were dead?
Like, what's the point of gaining power when there's no one to rule, because the people give you power.
Right.
You're no one without the people. So
this is what she was doing all on the low.
She had a secret cave, a lair.
Right. But to everyone else, she was just like really popular and like friendly, sweet person, very helpful.
She was a great listener. She was like, come to me if you need help.
Right. So she was even so the main character is Mariposa. And she was like extending offers to Mariposa, like, hey, I know you're kind of an introvert, but like, if you want to make friends, if you want to be more outgoing, like, come talk to me. I would love to like help you. Like, you're a good person, whatever. But she was really just trying to win her favor, as well as everybody else, so that once the queen died, like, people would, I guess, think of Henna as a
her.
Right.
As someone who's like, can rule them, her knowledge, her intellect, whatever.
So the queen had an advisor. So she was so Henna was the queen's attendant, but the queen had an advisor named Gastrus. And Henna was gaslighting the heck out of him the whole movie, making it seem like she was on the queen's side, you know, like, oh, so Gastrus would never like suspect her of anything. Mm-hmm.
Like she would be an angel in front of the queen and Gastrus, but like outside of that.
But once her plan got found out and, you know, something I thought was interesting was like, once her plan was revealed by Mariposa, she like very briefly tried to be like, I could never, that would never have been me. And then she was just like, you know what? Nah, she just gave it that up. Was me. And yeah. Then she revealed her whole plot. Cause
she was like, yeah. And
yeah, she was like, yeah, I did it. And, the queen's about to die in like 5 minutes. So like, I don't have a problem admitting to this. Cause it's about to be over.
Wait, what? And it was Russian trying to get her hope, like, get an antidote. And then yeah. She was like, but I thought your legendary Ilios didn't exist. What anecdote? And they were like, where do we even find this? And she was just like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
T-minus 2 minutes till your queen's day.
She runs off the side of the like the ledge that they were on and jumps off and then rises back up on the backs of Skeezites. And
it was just a whole army. Like the cavalry came out.
Yeah. And so she was like, you know, attacking them.
Served.
Basically. So she didn't even hesitate to let the guards and Mariposa and everybody like get eaten. She was just like, nah, it's over now. Yeah, she was just like, you know, remorseless in the end. She was like, nah, it's over. It's too late. So they get to eat. I get my power. But, you know, obviously they subdued her in the end. Everything worked out fine. But she is another person who is trying to commit mass, like, wiping out of a species.
I couldn't tell if she was like actually, if that was actually her plan or if that was just a bluff.
Yeah, it could have been a bluff.
Like, honestly. Maybe she wasn't actually going to kill the fairies. It was just like a, I could. So if you won't follow me out of like a false sense of security, because
like Laverna in the first movie.
Yeah, like Laverna, like she won the people's favor before doing all this. Like if that didn't work, then she can literally just roll by fear, because at any given moment she could be like, oh, but my Skeezite buddies can come and eat you. So like, you're going to do this.
But then in the end, she was like, yeah, y'all can just go ahead and eat them because like, I'm done here. So she really was at the end about to have everybody cooked.
Which
so.
I'm still like, this seems counterproductive, but
yeah, it does. But yeah, so I think something that would put her a little bit high on the list for me is that this felt like real, kind of like, I said this about somebody else earlier in the listing, but she was a nice person. It was just like a regular old little town, whatever. But she was just evil on the low. Like, she was really twisted. So she smiled in your face and then was actually plotting your demise. And, you know, that feels kind of more real than Wenlock being a warlock and, like, stealing 16-year-old girls and turning them into dwarves. Like, you know, this kind of hit a little different because she was playing in everybody's face.
She could be your bestie.
Yeah. And she played the good girl role well. Like, she seemed like a nice person. She was pleasant. So, and she was playing the Skeezites too. Like, she was playing everybody.
Really?
So she was kind of, you know, she was bad.
Everyone's friend and enemy at the same time. Like, she was kind of good at what she did, but.
Yeah. But, you know, the way the ranking is going right now, so we don't have anybody in first, second, or third right now. We have from 4 to 11 right now.
Very tentative placements.
I'm thinking she's not an honorable mention. Like, she's. I feel like she should be in the main ranking, but the way that everybody else is right now, I don't think anybody else should get kicked out. Maybe Preminger can get moved out.
I was thinking maybe Preminger, the bias isn't strong enough to keep him up there, I guess. Because like,
now, does that bump him into honorable or?
I don't know. We got Rothbart right under him.
Not me forgetting what Rothbart did already.
He was the Swan Lake.
Oh yeah, okay. So he tried to poison the forest and he turned all the animals into. Is he mentionable? Like, is he honorable here, or does he deserve to be still in the main ranking? I don't know. I'm getting a little. It's getting down to
Since the beginning, I was low-key feeling like he was more of an honorable mention.
Okay. All right, so.
But, like, I didn't have a strong argument for it, but.
Because I think he did some messed up stuff. It's getting a little
crowded up in
there. It is, yeah, it is. All right, well, we can revisit. We can put him in honorable right now and then come revisit it. Yeah. So we're going to put Henna at 10 and move Rothbart down.
Sure.
Out of 10.
So Lydia goes 12.
All right. What's next?
Oh, boy. So now we have Barbie in A Christmas Carol, the villain, Aunt Marie. Did she say aunt or aunt in the movie?
I'm pretty sure she said aunt.
Oh, Aunt Marie. So this was just Barbie's telling of A Christmas Carol. So as far as like main plot stuff goes, it's probably more or less the same. Like you got this jaded person who was like, I hate Christmas.
Bah humbug.
Yeah. And it made it everyone else's problem. But then they go to bed and they have visions or visits from the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. And they basically learn how to be a better person by the end of the night. And then the next day they're like,
Christmas. A changed person. Yeah. And yeah.
So in Barbie's version, she was a singer named Eden, and she was super famous and like went on all the world stages and stuff. But she was actually just really selfish and kind of nasty to her employees and didn't really care about what they wanted. It was more like, I'm on tour, so you're going to work through Christmas because I said so.
And even like, though one of her employees was her childhood best friend, she still let her like
who's career- part of the reason she even became a singer, like. And she's her costume designer, but she was like, no one's going home. Like, I don't care if you have families. I don't care if this is the first time you've seen your family in like 10 years, because I think that was Catherine's deal.
That was the best like, friend situation. Yeah.
So she went to bed after telling everyone, if you don't come to work, you're fired. And she got visited by all the ghosts. So her aunt, we put her as the villain because she is the reason this woman is so jaded in life. She actually visited her at the beginning. I don't really remember how the original Christmas Carol went, like if there was a visit from like the person who ruined their life in the beginning like Barbie did, but she visited her, was like, you will see three different ghosts tonight because like I realized my wrongs and you are the way you are because of me, and I always told you, which is one of the bullet, the first one actually, in a selfish world, the selfish succeeds. That's the lesson that her aunt taught her. And she took it to heart and made her whole personality. And her aunt was like, I am at fault and you need to change or else you'll become like me, a ghost chained to like the weights of her regrets and guilts and all that. So like, I need you to be a better person so I can be free.
Pretty much.
Like in the end, she was still a little selfish, but she also was like, you need to change because you're not getting very far like this. Like you will crash and burn. So her aunt, she, did you want to pick it up? I don't want to.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. That's fine. You can go ahead.
Okay. We put that. Oh, yeah. We already mentioned the Christmas thing. Eden wouldn't give her friend and her employees Christmas off because she has a show coming up in 2 weeks and feels like that she should be prioritized even over her bestie who hadn't been together with her family since she was a child. So it was probably a little more than 10 years. Like she literally hadn't seen her family in years. And she was like, no. But her aunt, when she was a kid, she took her in. Did they say what happened to her parents? Because there was a reason she was with her aunt. Well, some unknown thing happened to her parents where it caused her to be raised by her aunt. But she was very strict, very like down to the hour. I'm scheduling out your day and you are going to practice singing. You're going to practice piano. You're going to do this. You're going to do that because you're going to be a star because...
No, I said so.
I said so. And we like, need to make it out. She was talented. It wasn't like she was forcing this girl to do something she's not good at. But she also kind of didn't like it anymore because it became such a...
Yeah, she didn't have free time.
She had no free time. Maybe like an hour of free time, but like that's it. And
they didn't have much money. So like she didn't eat. She wasn't eating.
She ate very basic. Like she ate alone too. It was kind of sad. Like she was always by herself. But she made time for herself. She would sneak out and go visit her friend down the road. And she had a big family and they would do Christmas up and like music and food and laughter and cheer and all that great stuff. But her aunt found out 1 year and crashed a party and like probably yelled at them for a long time and forbade her forever seeing her again. And she like cracked down on her free time. She was just very, very strict to the point of being abusive, like emotionally abusive, neglect, all of that. So she grew up basically having no happiness in life and was like didn't see the wrong in what she was doing, because to her, her aunt was right. So she because was like,
she didn't become
right.
a star.
Yeah, so like she's like, well, famous. It paid off.
So obviously, what she did was right.
But like,
so
the world didn't really see her real personality. It was just like, oh, this beautiful woman singing on stage, and I don't know if she ever interacted with her fans for real, but really, her aunt was the reason that she was a trash adult, and the whole movie was really just her like figuring out, I'm a trash adult and I gotta fix myself because my future will be. She was like, it was riches to rags. It was rags to riches, back to rags type situation if she kept going the way she was going. So she made the list because of her just straight up neglect to human rights and emotions. And
yeah, I mean, off the bat, though, I feel like she's going straight in honorable mentions just because
compared to the other villains we have,
the other horrors
is more like magic and we're taking over kingdoms type of villains. And, you know, I don't remember our original list, but I feel like she probably made the honorable mentions in the original just because she was facing like warlocks and I don't know, fairy advisors and stuff. And hers is really realistic.
It's like, deep. Like,
yeah, like it was something sad. That's probably the most real one on the list just because this one's more based in a,
and I'm not allowing her to have her redemption arc here, but she did lead to Eden becoming a better person. So
she was like, it's too late for me, but like, you can be better.
Yeah,
but so, also I'm just trying to be free from my shackles, so like, do it for both of us. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So I feel like I would put her above Lydia just because she really messed that girl up. And that would have led to her like negatively affecting orphans and like stuff like that.
Generational trauma.
Lydia just wanted to be the sole me. Like, she was just really selfish
for no reason. Like, they didn't even explain why. They were just like,
there weren't a whole lot of victims in her wake, if I'm remembering correctly.
Who?
In Lydia's wake.
I mean, you had the tavern people.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And then that man, the manor, and then two main girls, and then the music. So, I mean, she had more than Marie in terms of, like, numbers.
Yeah, but then what Marie did to Eden would have, like, again,
is it like another
shut down an orphanage. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
her
then,
friend and her family, like, the employees and their families, the orphanage that the bestie was helping. So
I'm thinking I'd put her above Lydia, but I'm open to an argument there. Okay. Next movie is Barbie and the Three Musketeers and its villain, Philippe, who was the cousin to the crown prince. And again,
it's, like, they love their kingdoms.
Can you guess what his plight was, guys?
His main motive?
You got it. He wanted power. He wanted to take power for himself. And our first bullet point on the list is a quote from him saying, accidents do happen. But this accident was supposed to finish the prince once and for all. He was talking to basically his hitman because he was trying to arrange an accident. Like, I think the chandelier had fell on a staircase that the prince was standing on.
And it was supposed to be like 3 inches to the right and kill
him.
It
was supposed to be over. Right. So, the protagonist here is a girl who wanted to be a musketeer. So she went to Paris so that she could join the leading musketeering crew there, I guess. Like, I don't know.
The musketeers.
The musketeers.
Just join the musketeers.
But they were like, a girl being a musketeer? Sorry, no. So she ended up, like, through a series of events, becoming a staff member in the castle. Right, where there were three other girls right, because it's Barbie and the Three Musketeers. So three other girls who worked there who also low-key wanted to become musketeers, and
casually, so many women want to be musketeers,
right? So that's pretty much the plot. They found out that there was this plot against Prince Louis,
mm-hmm.
and so they took it upon, they were like, we can't tell anybody, nobody's going to believe us, so we have to protect him. So they were doing that the whole movie. There was another attempt on his life where his cousin, Philippe, arranged for his hot air balloon to get carried off and he have a hot air balloon accident and die.
Which was newfangled inventions that he was making. So there was no like final version of a hot air balloon. So they were just going to write it off as like, oh, his prototype didn't work out. Whoopsie.
Right. So the same dude he was talking to when he was like, accidents do happen, but this one was supposed to finish off the prince. He also told this this lackey guy that he better not mess up next time or the next accident could be his. I was like, yikes. And this dude looks like you don't want to be threatening him. He has an eye patch.
He
like,
looks more scary. Intimidating than the main villain.
Like, yeah, but so I was like, yikes. And then there was a ball, which was it his coronation ball or his birthday or something?
It was his birthday.
Which was also his, like, because it was like, we have to get him before this ball or else like it's going to be too late
for me. Or like during the ball because right. Like, his coronation was right around a corner.
Right. So the plan was for Philippe and his men to sneak real weapons into it because there was a sword dance to happen at this.
A ceremonial sword dance. Everybody's going to have like plastic ones, but
he was trying to sneak real ones in so that like another accident or whatever.
Which was honestly kind of stupid to me because he should have went for a dagger. Like, what are you going to do? Sneaking a whole, you got to pull the whole sword out. And yeah, they had that big distraction with the fireworks show at the end, but like, it's so much of a hassle to kill someone with like a long blade and like short range. Just get a dagger. And
yeah,
just
be like, well,
like, I think he did have a dagger though, but it was like a backup dagger.
Yeah.
Like, his actual murder weapon was going to be the sword. And I'm like, this is gonna.
But there was a scene where Prince Louis was like confiding in his cousin because his cousin was like, he was close to his cousin. He never would have imagine that his cousin was plotting on him like this.
He
was, oh yeah, that was his buddy. He was always telling him like what his next plans were. Meanwhile, Philippe is like, this dude has his head in the clouds. He wants to be an inventor. He's so not childish. Fit to be king. I should be king. So anyway, they were having a conversation right before the ball, and Louis was like, huh, another ball. And then Philippe was like, and your last, with an evil smirk off to the side. And then he was like, as prince, your last one as prince. But your next
will be as king. But he was like, you ain't living to see another day.
Right. And then there was the, like, you know, plot reveal moment where Philippe had Louis cornered and he was going to kill him right then. And he was like, that's right, cousin, a dead end. And I was like, oh, no, this guy. So with his list of crimes,
3 attempted murders.
Yeah.
That's really it.
3 attempted murders and
treason because he was plotting to kill the heir.
Yes. So he kept it kind of localized though. Like nobody else was really about to get hurt in his plots to kill the prince.
Yeah, he really was just out for the prince.
Yeah. So definitely messed up, but I don't think this makes him high up.
Probably not. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Though they never showed any like parent, like no, there's no king or queen that was in the picture, like assuming they probably were, but they never showed them. So he wasn't like, I'm trying to kill them too, right, or like take out his best friends. Like it was just him.
So, let's revisit Preminger here. So Preminger had 2 accounts of kidnapping. He was stealing money from the kingdom so that he could turn around and say that he found this money and was going to become king. Animal abuse, although it wasn't insane, but he was just,
murder.
Oh, right. Okay. Never mind.
In the mines.
So
then and false imprisonment. Actually, that wasn't, I don't think we typed that out, but he had like basically worked out a way for Julian to get arrested that one time.
Oh, yeah. She just was so like, he's in cahoots with something.
Yeah, just so he can be out of the picture because Julian was smart. He was the intellectual of the movie. He was her tutor. And he was like, he's on to me, so I got to get him out of the picture. And I forget exactly what he did, but he got that man locked up so that he can continue his plan, even though they did nothing. So.
Oh, wait, no. It was because he had the pauper. What was her name? No, how did I forget her name? He had Erica pretending to be the princess. And knew about it. So true. That was his crime that he was.
Also, he low-key did do something, but like it was for the best, but like, yeah.
So then you have Philippe who has his, 3 counts of attempted murder on Prince Louis, mm-hmm. and wanted to overthrow. Like, well, not overthrow, but wanted to take his place. So I'm like, who is worse between the two of them so that we can figure out who gets this spot?
I mean, the whole kingdom hanging on a thin line because he's the one that can save their economy. But then like three counts of attempted murder. Like, I don't know, the economy or... It's giving like a
greater... The economy and one count of murder and two counts of kidnapping.
Or and animal abuse. That's like an aside.
Or three counts of attempted murder on one person. One of them being public because he was going to stab that man in the midst of his party. But they all had masks on. So like nobody would have ever known it was Philippe. Like, I don't know. I'm not really sure where to put him.
Me neither.
Like, it's bad. Because again, he just didn't care. Like, he had no remorse. He was like, oh, I'm just biding my time waiting to kill this kid. And then you had Preminger, who both of them were like very thoughtful in their plans.
Very premeditated.
Yeah. I'm not sure, man.
You know,
something just doesn't feel right about putting Philippe in honorable mentions and then Preminger being like that high above him.
I feel like they should be neck and neck. Okay. Like back to back.
Well, then who would we push away? Because I think Henna does need to be in top 10.
Yeah.
So thinking Preminger might need to be 11.
Or we bump everyone up.
Oh, that too.
Because low-key, Rowena could be like a number 3. She was kind of vile. All
right, so we have... Do we have Philippe at 10 or Philippe neck and neck with Preminger?
Oh my gosh, what if we just put them on the same one for now? Is that cheating?
I mean, I think so. I think that makes it harder later.
The two P's.
Right. Two P's in a jail cell. All right, moving on. We have Barbie and a Mermaid Tale with its villain, Eris.
So, TLDR for that plot. Eris was the sister, or is, whatever, the sister of the current queen of, how do they pronounce it? Oceania?
It's Oceania.
Okay. Of Oceania. But she didn't like that. Once again, another take a shot every time a Barbie movie does a plot for overthrowing one's sister or a king or queen so that they could take the throne. But she wanted the power to rule everyone, but she wasn't born with the magical ability to spin the life force of the sea, but and the sister was. Also, the sister was just nicer and everyone loved her. So she became queen and she didn't like that. So her main plot was to kidnap the queen, lock her up, force her in captivity to keep spinning this Marilia, the force of the sea, but the people believed that it was her own power. So that she can just play queen for like how many years? 15? 15 years this went on. So this might be the first villain so far, correct me if I'm wrong, that like carried out their plan or at least a half of their plan and succeeded for so long. Because everyone else was like, I'm plotting my revenge and I'm currently carrying it out. And then it was like thwarted somehow, but she did it. Yeah. And had her locked up for 15 whole years. So she was spinning this stuff in a dungeon. And then she was going out in public, was like, Oceania, do you adore me? And then they'd be like, woo. And then she's like, I said, do you adore me? And
why do all your villains have accents? I noticed that.
I don't know. That's just when I think of drama, I'm like, drama. But she was basically withholding this Marilia, which would, I guess, in... rich everyone. It was like, without Marilia, you can't exist in the sea, I suppose. So she would like make people sing her praises so that they could prove their worth. And then she would give them Marilia. But the main girly of the movie, you know, so conveniently, is this surfer on land, but she was also secretly the daughter of the queen. So she was half human, half mermaid because the queen fell in love with a human. And she never knew until she was 16, the magical number. And so she was like, well, I'm the only one that can go down there and
thwart her plans.
Yes, because I'm also royalty, so I can go and actually challenge her for the throne and destroy her plans. So she, her sister, the current queen, Calissa, was depressed, rightfully so, for 15 years because she was locked away. So her Marilia was not as strong as it could have been. And it was low-key poisoning the seed because it was really weak. And her feelings were getting pumped into it. So it was, like, not good. And she was basically guilt-tripping her, too. She was like, it's your fault the ocean's dying. You know, forget the fact that I kidnapped you
right.
and that I stole your spot. It's your fault because you're the one spinning this stuff and it's making everything sick. And if this keeps going, the ocean's cooked. And the queen was just like, oh, brother. So, of course, the protagonist goes down and is like, I gotta save everybody. She, the thing where she would gather everyone to, like, prove their worth, she called it the Heiress Festival, which cult behavior. She would do that twice a day and make people just fake their happiness and clap and be like, oh, you're so great, so that they would get what they needed to live. Like, what? She did public displays of punishment for the most petty thing. Like, what was her name? The lipstick?
There was some fish that was, like, full of herself. Yeah. And during the Heiress Festival one time, instead of, like, clapping and cheering for Heiress, she was busy, like, putting on lipstick in a mirror. She was
reapplying her makeup.
Right. And Heiress saw her and was like, oh, so you're more important than me, huh? And she created a whirlpool and got this lady out of there. Like, she was like, you're going to the dungeons for this offense. So she would do stuff like that. And that would definitely keep people.
Yeah.
Like, she's definitely a rule by fear type person. So that just made everybody, like, really cheer extra hard because they were like, ah, that's not about to be me.
And when she found out that there was a secret princess that's coming back to the town to try to take her place, she was like, Calissa, you tell me right now where she is. And obviously she won't know because she was locked away for 15 years. So she was like, every hour you do not tell me, I'm going to imprison 10 innocent people and send them to dungeons, and you're going to have to live with that. And I don't actually know if she did 10 people. They showed one, but it's implied that she followed through with what she said. And it's probably at least 10 people in the dungeons by the time Marilia came and was like, I'm here to stop my aunt from going crazy. So her crimes, false imprisonment for innocent people, straight up abduction, like she, and holding her hostage for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So like forcing servitude or whatever because she lacked the power,
manipulating people's emotions,
playing dictator.
She was a
tyrant. Like, she was crazy.
And then you have those, that's in the first movie. So there's a sequel to The Mermaid Tale where at the end of the first one she gets defeated and trapped in her own really, really strong whirlpool. So she's in this whirlpool for
basically stuck in Mariana's Trench.
Yeah. So in the second movie, she finds a way to get out of this this whirlpool and come back, and she plots her conveniently at this point in time, there is a ceremony called the Changing of the Tides that's coming up. And a member of the royal family has to sit on this throne when the sun is at the right spot or whatever, and recite this thing.
This ancient rite.
And that replenishes or refreshes their ability to produce Marilia, life force of the sea, again. And that's that. You can keep ruling. So because Heiress can't spin Marilia, if she goes and does this ceremony, that'll give her the power to do it. And then she won't need Clarissa or what's her name?
Marilia.
I don't know why. So she won't need them at all. So she was trying to crash the ceremony and do it herself. So that's what, like, her goal was in the second movie. I don't know if you've ever seen this meme, but this is where the movie, this is the movie where it's from. The bombastic side eye fish. Oh my God.
He's in this name.
Alistair, yes. Oh. And he was low-key the most independent villain sidekick of the whole BCU. Like,
He had brain cells. Like, he spoke for himself.
Now, Brutus the monkey, he was doing stuff without being told because he just was here for the chaos. But Alistair was a little bit different. Like, he was kind of low-key running.
He knew how to strategize.
Like, yeah.
He had a more complex brain than, like, the monkey, which is so funny.
Right, yeah.
Like, he was just there to just be chaotic. He won't over here plotting nothing. He was just like, but
so Alistair? Right. So Merlea, in the second movie, has kind of what's the word I'm looking for when you have somebody on your team that you're looking in competition with?
A rival?
Rival. So she has a rival, and she is the one who gets tricked into going into the whirlpool so that Eris can come out. So once Merlea finds her, she's like, oh my God, I was so wrong to do this. I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry. So they're kind of like on the same side at this point, and they're working together to try to stop Eris in this movie. So Eris now being stronger because she's more angry, she created a new spell that can turn people into their worst nightmare. And she would like use that without hesitation.
She was tossing it left and right.
Right. So it's like she enslaved a new group of minions by embarrassing their leader, making him into his worst nightmare, which like they're huge, like electric eels, right? So his worst nightmare was to be little, like he was small. And she was like, if y'all don't want to end up like your leader, you're going to follow me. So they started following her. And, you know, towards the end, Eris did all of the guardians and Queen Clarissa. She all turned them all into their worst nightmares. And so we just had our first major technical difficulty. Yay!
Scuff!
Yeah, so from this point forward in the episode is being recorded a few days after the last part. We have the same outfits on to not break the immersion as much. So we were pretty much done with the last villain we were ranking, so we'll just go ahead and wrap that up, rank that, and keep it moving. We were ranking Eris of the Mermaid Tale movies, and all right, so a recap. Well, it's not really a recap here because y'all are still listening.
Like, but 30 seconds ago, but we were talking about how she was turning people into their worst nightmares. Eels were transformed into various things.
Yeah. So our her list of crimes is that she overthrew her sister, and was ruling in under fear tactics for 15 years.
Dictator for 15 years.
Yeah. She was falsely imprisoning people, just as a show of power. She was making her citizens sing her praises in order to earn their basic needs, and then she tried to ambush the changing of the tide ceremony to gain the power to make the life force of the sea herself so she could really get rid of her sister and her
probably
niece.
Kill her.
Yeah. So, you know, these are all pretty bad. I feel like in a way, it's not, you know, this one's not genocide for once. She was going to be a dictator over everybody in the sea, and I don't know who would have been able to stop her if she got rid of Merlea and Kalissa. I just cannot get these names. I don't know what it is about this movie. But yeah, so I'm thinking she deserves top 10. Where, though?
Why is doing a number ranking so much harder than like a tier list? Because it's only one spot each.
Right, that's exactly why.
That's why it's my one question. Okay, is she top five or bottom five?
I want to say bottom five because she didn't kill anyone. And we got some people in the... Well, I don't know.
To be fair, I'm playing devil's advocate for both at this point. To be fair, she was actively doing this for like 15 years, and some of the only people, oh, never mind, because Mother Gothel's in bottom five, and she was like sparking a war between kingdoms for like over a decade. So, you know,
all right. So I think again, Primogen just keeps getting bumped.
Oh, sorry, Primogen. But he drained.
He drained. Yeah.
mind shaft.
He did, but he didn't succeed. And
they got that money back in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, because they found another source of income. But Eris, she was doing this for 15 years. Like, she was being a tyrant for 15 years. So she at least goes over Preminger, which I don't know if he just needs to be bumped out entirely or if we just keep shifting down. Maybe put her above Henna. Because what did Henna do again? She commandeered the Skeezites. She was trying to take over. Was it Flutterfield? Was that them?
Yes.
So she poisoned the queen. She basically was like, she almost killed the queen. Like, I don't know.
She basically died.
Yeah.
Like, she was comatose. And
at least Eris had her sister locked up. Like, she didn't actually try to kill her. And that's just because she needed her power. But I mean, still circumstances.
But then there's like the moral question of like, is death merciful? Like, would it just been nicer to let a person die versus like torturing them for 15 years? Like,
let's put Eris in 9 and Philippe gets moved down. Why is it so
hard? Should we just like do a 15 instead of top 10? Like, I know in the beginning we're gonna do 15 and I was like, no, let's do the 10 like the original. But now I'm like, but it's so hard to pick who's gonna stay.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with
let's just keep trying to do 10, and if it's really like, bro, nah, because these people gotta be here, and then we'd be like,
like I said, I think Philippe should get bumped into the bottom
honorable.
Yeah, into honorable, yeah, and Eris should take his spot.
I'm okay with that. It was 3 different counts of attempted murder slash, you know, him getting hitmen on him, but like it didn't succeed, and that was the only thing he really did. Like, it wasn't that one.
He was
top.
Only targeting his cousin, and Eris was targeting the entire ocean.
Everybody.
So all right, next one is Barbie Princess Charm School with its villain Dame Devon.
Before we started recording this extra other part, I was joking about a part of the movie where there was an automated system and she was like, welcome, Dame Devon. And that just cracks me up. Like, even before us rewatching the movie, I remembered that was
that
a
just
line.
Sticks with you.
It just stuck with me. It's just so funny because you could tell she recorded it herself, and just the evil could not be contained. You can just hear it. She just sounded so mean. And then it went back to this nice AI voice, and I'm like, okay. But yes, Dame Devon, villainous aw chuckles the first book.
She did have a pretty, like,
I don't even know how to emulate it.
Me neither.
I'm not even
I don't remember how it sounds, but it was like, it was funny.
It was, and then it zoomed into her face when she would chuckle too, and I'm like, this is the most
very villain.
Yeah.
Yes, villain.
Yeah, quite villain.
Yes. So our second bullet point is just an honorable mention, because her daughter was like,
she was a
on her way to being just as bad as her, but it's just how she was raised. So
she realized her wrongdoings, so she was okay by the end, but like, she was kind of another villain, but she was the victim of a villain.
So while she was in her villainy, we got a quote, a situation from her. She has, so everybody in Princess Charm School has like a fairy assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the little fairies, like Tinkerbell size fairies. And so Delancey, the daughter, she had her fairy assistant named Wakelia. Like, where did they make these names up? Oh, Wicked, right.
Yeah.
Wakelia, she had her go and tuck the tablecloth into the main character's skirt so that when she stood up from the table, it would pull everything off the table.
In the cafeteria, mind you. So it was in front of everybody.
So, like, yeah, that's real heel. Like, that's a real villain act. But moving back to Dame Devon, she was raising her daughter to take over, you know, she'd be the queen or whatever, be the queen.
Technically princess.
Yeah.
No, queen. No, because she was currently a princess or something.
That's crazy because she was like 18. Like, she was already about to be queen. I mean, but that's how it works. I get it. But anyway.
Are we talking the bullets out of order, or because we could just go ahead and explain like the main motive?
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the princess, or we can just go in order.
We can just explain the main one.
All right. So, yeah. So
and then get to
what you were getting at. There was the ruling family, Queen Victoria, I think King Reginald, and then their little baby, Princess Sophia. And then there was Dame Devon, who was, I forget whose sister she was. She was one of their sisters, I think. So she was like, right? That was her relation? A sister? She was related to one of the monarchs somehow, but she plotted this murder plan where they died in a car accident. And her whole plan was to get her daughter now that the main ruling line is out of the way, into the throne so that she can basically rule. Didn't this happen in another movie that we had already talked about?
Was it Island Princess?
Yeah, it was Island Princess.
Or 12 Dozen Princesses, one of those.
She was going to get her daughter to, marry in, but, she just wanted to do it so she could have a hand in things. It wasn't necessarily, I want to be queen, because she knew she couldn't. That's not the lineup of things. But she was like, either way, I'm going to have power. And that's what she, Dame Devon was trying to do. Because she's been controlling her daughter her whole life anyway. And unlike Ariana from Island Princess, this daughter was a true victim and she was following her mother's footsteps. So she probably would have seen no wrongs in it, and it was really sad. But she killed that family, except the daughter, because she got found and dropped on somebody's doorstep. And here comes the protagonist. So she... It's just so funny because at the end of the movie, she was so shameless in revealing it too. I don't even know if it was about being shameless or just, I don't think she was paying attention to what she was saying, because she was very angry that her plan got foiled.
Yeah.
And she was just shaking her daughter I killed the king and queen so that you can become ruler one day.
In front of everybody.
National television, live television. And everybody in the country was like, oh. And she was like, oh. I didn't say that.
Oh, girl, you said more than
done,
enough.
You're done. So, yeah, she... straight up to admit to her murder, you know. She wasn't the one that actually killed them, but, she orchestrated the whole thing. So, on top of the things she did before the movie ever began, she, at one point, had threatened demolition of basically the poor areas of the city where the protagonist had grown up in. And she was doing it to get her out of that Princess Charm school, because that was basically going to foil her plan. If she graduated, she would have been found out as the true ruler, and then all of Dame Devon's plans would have gone out the window. So she was like, I gotta get this girl out of this school, and so she can go back to her trash life and never cross paths with me again, and then my daughter could become queen and blah 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 blah. So she was like, I'm just gonna tear your city down, and we're gonna put parks and rolling streams and all this nice stuff, and that people will want, and this is staining the town being here. So she was just so shameless with that too. Made the girl run out of the room crying, because she was like, we can't just pick up and move because we're poor.
So Blair, the protagonist, she did end up finding a sense of resolve when she realized that she might be the actual princess.
Thanks to her friends.
True bestie. And yeah, rumors sometimes are a good thing. Mm-hmm. But once she realized that, I might actually be the princess, that kind of strengthened her resolve, and she stuck around so she could, prove it. And they had, her and her two friends, her roommates, they had a plan to, while some event was going on, they were going to stay behind and infiltrate the royal
storage, treasury, whatever.
And find this crown so she could prove that she's the ruler, because it would glow when it's on the head of royalty. So at least that's what the rumor was. Yeah. But that plan got foiled when Dame Devon kind of got wind of it, and she set up it's a fire alarm, it's a fire drill, and had everybody outside. And while everybody was outside, she had stuff planted in their room. And then she came back and was like, we have reason to believe they're stealing from me. So go search their room.
She stole my precious jewelry.
So she was like, go search their room. And the stuff was planted in there, so they almost got arrested. Oh, no, they did. They got thrown away. Yeah, thrown away. They got thrown.
Detained.
Yes, detained. There we go. But, in the end, it worked out in the main character's favor, because, of course, it's Barbie. It has to have a happy ending. But point being, Dame Devon she got the royal family killed. And she's just mean. She's a nasty person anyway. She's very self-centered and only worried about her. And not worried about her daughter, but just worried about making sure her daughter gets into power and stuff like
for
that.
For Dame Devon's sake.
Yeah, so she's not a good person.
She was targeting her during the classes too, unnecessarily calling her out, setting her up for failure just so she can look bad, chipping away her self-esteem so she could drop out of school type thing.
So demolition of poor areas to make it look nicer is gentrification, right? Is that what that is? Because I'm not super familiar with what that actually means. I hear it so much, but I don't know what it means. So that's a count of attempted gentrification. Not even just that, but she was doing it just to make somebody mad. Not even because she didn't want those areas there. So
It wasn't even that she just genuinely didn't whatever groups of people might have lived there. Because typically it's minorities that settle in these areas. And that's just so happened to be the main statistic. So when cities come in and like tear these things down or like don't improve these areas, it's always low-key a target against minority groups. So we don't know who all live here, but she didn't even care about that. It was literally just to get at Blair. So like,
so and murder,
just double petty
murder, even though it wasn't by her hands,
which begs the question, did the driver die? Because I think we talked about this after the movie, is like whoever was driving that vehicle to crash it to make them die, were they already like, well, I'm probably not gonna make it out
maybe
of this,
it wasn't okay that kind of accident, or maybe it was like,
I thought they said a car accident.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the driver like drove into something on that's purpose or whatever. True. We don't know exactly how
there
that
was
happened.
A case
but
like that in Tears of Themis, and it was a whole thing about the actual vehicle being tampered with and not like the driver.
So it could have been something like that. True. I mean, we've seen things get tampered with. We in Three Musketeers, like the chandelier rope getting cut and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, murder, attempted gentrification.
That's crazy.
falsely detaining people. And she almost got a, I mean, it's not that her daughter was not qualified to be a royal, because she was going
she
through all these lessons,
was,
but,
yeah.
But that's still, it's still messed up. I feel like she goes in the top five.
Yeah. I'd say so. Cause some of these other villains didn't actually go through killing people. It was either like, oh, you're petrified, so you're basically as good as dead, but like once they were defeated, the spell went away and like they could resume their normal lives. She killed his family.
So right now we don't have a one and a two. So just for sake of like doing this, because I don't necessarily know if I want her this high, but yeah, let's put Laverna in two and Dame Devon in three, maybe. Because after that there's Rowena, and I mean she should be up, but like how do you want to do it? Because I think
we can do, yeah, for now we can. Because I think she should be top five, too.
All right. Next movie, which is so funny to me that we were just talking about Poor Neighborhoods, because we got two back-to-back movies of, like, something similar, and we'll explain. The next movie is Barbie, the Princess and the Pop Star, and its villain is Crider.
Seymour Crider or Crider Seymour?
Seymour Crider,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that was his full name.
So,
he gave that name.
The Princess and the Pop Star is kind of a, like, a callback to the Princess and the Pauper. They even did a remix of To Be a Princess from the first, mm-hmm, from the other movie.
Which is a song.
Yeah, and that was really cool to me. But anyway, Crider. He is a bitter former child star whose career just ended when he hit puberty.
Literally,
and that was
like,
it. Like, it was gonna, anyway, he's a bitter former child star who is now the like manager for this really big pop star. And he's plotting on rising back to fame himself. So
even though he never really had it?
No, that's the craziest thing to me, is like he might be the most delusional person out of all of these villains. Like maybe more delusional than Gothel. Although
that's crazy. I don't know about that.
Okay,
that.
Maybe that's a stretch.
That would have been my daughter anyway.
All right, he's second place. He's under her.
He might be like a step or maybe even a step and a half under her, but they're quite, he's delusional.
That's fair. All right. She really pit two kingdoms against each other.
Yeah,
and he wasn't,
did not see remorse even till the end.
But like, my thing with him is, okay, you were a child star in the equivalent of Alvin and the Chipmunks, pretty much. And you were performing one day and your voice cracked and you got booed off the stage and that was the end of your career.
I look, you feel like that memory is embellished. Like that probably didn't even happen.
But that makes it even more funny, because he has really been carrying
his
whole life.
His PTSD just shifted everything in his head.
It's bad. Like this one was
never was even that deep.
So his whole thing was like, I need to find something to like kickstart me rising back to power.
He needed money.
He was like, I need money. I just need something. So he was like, maybe I can marry a rich widow and she could just be my sugar mama, basically, and pay for me to be a star again. So there was
the princess of the title.
What's
her name? Victoria? Tori. They call
Tori.
Her Tori.
Yeah. So Princess Tori or Princess Victoria, was it her aunt? Mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah. Which was the Duchess Amelia. She was kind of the one in charge of raising her, rearing them, because her parents are gone.
Her dad was around.
Oh, right. So her mom was gone.
They need a feminine touch or whatever in the household.
So that was Amelia. So, you know, I kind of felt bad. Like, at first, I thought Amelia might be the villain here.
Yeah.
But she actually wasn't. If anything, she was a victim because Tori and her daughters, Tori and her sisters
were menaces.
And just incredible pranksters. They were crazy. Ridiculous. Yeah. It was really bad. And there was magic involved. So, like, it was magical mischief. Like, it was, I felt bad for
Amelia was getting bullied in her own house.
I kind of felt for her. But because of this, you know, she has a very thankless job. And she don't really have time for herself, I feel like. So this dude, Kreider, was like, I need to go, you know, butter some old lady up so she can, like, be my sugar mama.
Feel bad for me and pay for me.
Right. So he went and started flirting with her. I'm talking bare minimum, cringy mess. Cringe, but she was eating it up because, like, she don't get this kind of attention. So she was, oh.
I was like, girl, you could do like, so much better.
Yeah.
Like-
but anyway, he was doing all of that to her. So she was like, oh, my God. This might be my ticket, like, to finally being happy. So she was telling him stuff he did not need to know about, like, the inner workings of the castle and just, like, special rooms and stuff.
The room thing wasn't. She told him to stay because she didn't want him to see it, but also she didn't freak out as much as she should have when he did see it.
So there is a special room in the castle that only Amelia and Tori can go into, pretty much. Like, only select people can go in there because
the royal family.
Yeah, because it houses a diamond gardenia bush, which is basically like the life force of the kingdom.
Like the plant life is supplied by this energy from this diamond plant.
Like, it grows diamonds. It's literally crazy. But anyway, they went into this. Well, Tori was in that room with the pop star girl. What was her name? Not me forgetting.
Kira.
Kira is the pop star. Tori is the princess. So they were in that room and Amelia heard some commotion, so she was like, no way. So she told Kreider, hold on for a second, and she went around the corner to go investigate, but obviously he's like, nah, I need the tea. So he goes and peeks around the corner and sees this bush and is like, just dollar signs in his eyes. He's like, oh, this is it. I need this bush.
He starts plotting.
Right. So he said the bush was going to be his supernova on top of a shooting star back to fame. Like, this dude is crazy. So he does break in, get the bush, and almost makes off with it. Of course, he gets thwarted because
Barbie.
Yeah, because we gotta have a happy ending. But yeah, him taking that bush though, it started killing all of the like nature
immediately
in the kingdom. Everything started wilting, dying, getting crunchy. Time. So I don't know exactly what all that would have done long term. Like, y'all just wouldn't have been able to grow anything.
I feel like that's the case because it was a point made in the earlier part of the movie that the vineyards in their kingdom were like wilting, withering, sick, dead. And that was like before the bush was ever taken. So clearly they're known for their like exports with produce. We don't know exactly what, but like some sort of things that they're growing. So if this bush immediately just start killing all the trees and stuff, it's kind of crazy that he basically just almost ruined their economy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty bad, like for something so childish too.
Yeah.
And like the point I was going to make earlier was in Princess Charm School, this was like one of the, I mean, besides like Princess and the Pauper, where you were talking about classes and you had like poorer people or whatever. They talked about poor neighborhoods in Princess Charm School, and then in Princess and the Pop Star, they actually went into one of these poor neighborhoods, and the princess didn't know that these even existed and that people were doing so bad. So her seeing it firsthand really like opened her eyes. But like they touched on it again, and I was like, "Well, this is interesting. I didn't realize until just now that like they did that in back-to-back movies." But anyway, Kreider. He shamelessly was going to steal this just so he can have a shot at fame he was never talented in the first place. So this was going to backfire and he would have done all of that damage for nothing. So I don't know. I feel like, I don't know where that puts him.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's definitely not top five because the whole like ruining the economy thing is kind of just an assumption just based on like one guy's comment in the first part of the movie, but without all that, he still did threaten their like nature, but like,
so in a way, again, similar to Primogen.
Even if he did make away with the bush somehow, he got out and he like fled, they still had like the two diamonds that they put on their own necklaces, so it would have been okay it just would be like, oh my god, he got this bush with like limited diamonds on it, because it's not like it's gonna live more. So like low key, it's not that it would have been like
catastrophic.
Yes, because they still had the two seeds that they planted, and immediately a new bush.
Yeah, you're right.
But that still doesn't excuse the fact he stole it. But like, unlike other movies where if the villain did get away, they'd be cooked. Kind of like, I think that put him a little lower.
Like if Premature would have rose to power. I mean, I don't think he would. I don't know what kind of ruler he would have been, but he definitely wasn't fit to rule. It was just a power grab. Like, it was just for power.
He just
power.
Wanted to do it just to say he did.
So, I guess that still ranks Preminger above him. Like, he still should be. He's honorable.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, all things considered.
His plan was just not even thought through for real. Like, what were you going to do after? He had no plan. He was just like, ooh, pretty bush with money. Let me take that drink.
Yeah. Not even pretty bush. Just like, oh.
Yeah. He didn't money. Care about it. Yeah. It was like,
money do grow on trees, he said. Anyway, so we're throwing him an honorable mention for now. This is kind of given when we did the Ace Attorney one, how it seemed like everybody was crowding one category or one tier because we were just like, I don't really know. So like, honorable mentions is full right now. We still have
one more person.
Yes, we're on our last person. So let's see how this one works out. So the last movie in our era of Barbie was Mariposa and the Fairy Princess. And the villain here was the Gwillion, which
I just can't.
The whole movie, we did not know what they were saying. No, so when the credits rolled, we were like, okay.
It's the Gwillion. And I'm like, what are we saying?
Is her name LaGwillion?
Yeah, like I was Gwendolyn? Spelling out LaGwillion, like spelled like villain, but like, I was confused.
So she was a sketchy old lady from out of town, like, you know, like classic hag. Mm-hmm. And she... I mean, no offense to her, but she pulls up to this kingdom. Shimmervale is where the crystal fairies live, and their whole like power grid is powered off of
crystallites.
And
without it, they would freeze and basically die
because it's responsible for their energy, their warmth, everything. Mm-hmm. So they're very protective. It's kind of giving Vibranium and Wakanda. Like, they were like, we don't want to open our borders to anybody.
We sustain ourselves.
So that's kind of how they are. So this lady, Gwillion, walks up and is like, hey, can I have one of y'all's crystal lights? Because, you know, it's cold out here. And the king was like, no, sorry. And then she's like, oh, bet. So she starts magically whooping their tail or trying to whoop their tail. So they were in her back or whatever. But then she sees, oh yeah, well, never mind. We have bullet points. She said, oh, where? I'll show you no, because the king said no. She froze everybody with a spell and she kidnapped the princess.
Who was like 8 at the time.
Catania. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her dad was so upset that his like rage and fear broke the spell and he went after his daughter. And she got dropped. From like they were like way above a waterfall.
I was literally about to say that's king behavior, but he's literally a king.
I mean, it checks. Princess Catania ends up getting dropped. She falls. She hits something on the way down, which breaks her wings. And they eventually do heal, but I think the emotional trauma kept her from flying. Mm-hmm. So she never flew from when she was 8. She like just 16. Started, she was getting carried around on the back of a Pegasus and like in carriages and stuff.
Yeah, they're like, equivalent of like wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like she could still walk, but she just wouldn't fly anymore. So yikes. And then this old lady spent 8 years making a petrifying spell so that she could destroy all the crystallites in Shimmervale. And there's a main one called the Heartstone, which if anything happens to any of the smaller crystallites, it can be revived, reignited with the Heartstone. So she was going to crystallize that too, petrify that. Yeah. And basically, she was trying to kill all of them because they would not be able to like survive the freeze.
It was like, you won't give me one stone, so I'll take all of your stones out. Like
pretty much. So she almost succeeded, but they stopped it.
Yeah.
And then, in just a show of killing with kindness, Catania got her flight back in the end too, because she needed to overcome being scared to fly in order to save everybody. So, like, good for her. But instead of like banishing the Gwilion or like killing or executing her or whatever, she gave her what she always wanted. She gave her a crystallite, and it transformed her into like a saint. Like, she literally transformed. She was taller.
She was still
her
old,
robes were not black anymore. They were white. Like, it was kind of crazy. But we didn't even mention her sidekick was this worsome bat.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't know what his accent was. Alistair. And who knows where his accent was. Yeah, it was like kind of all over the place. Bro, but in the end, he was like, ew, you changed. Like, he literally said it like, you changed. And he flew off. Like, what?
So I think I was embarrassed for him the whole movie. Every time he opened his mouth, I'm like, stop. Get some help. I just could not. I wanted to plug my ears. I couldn't. Like, where were they going with him?
I don't know, man. So he was mad in the end and he left. But the Gwilion got transformed into a good person. Which, I don't know if that's happened with any of the other villains. Like,
not
quite. They got...
Can you scroll their names again? Like, on the other list?
Oh.
Because I don't think so. None of them really felt any remorse at the end.
Mm-mm.
Like, Wenlock got transformed, but he was still, like... I don't think he truly saw the Double wrongs time. In his ways. He was just mad that that's what happened to him. This might be the first villain that turned around.
Yeah, so... what she was attempting to do was pretty bad.
It would have ended up killing them.
But in this odd way, which I don't necessarily agree with, she got a redemption arc of sorts. But really, that was just Princess Catania being an angel.
My problem was that it was never once explained why she wanted or needed that crystallite in the first place. Like, she was like hunched over looking in the grass. And then when she asked for it and was denied, then she got mad and like started her 8-year petty arc. But she, even in the end, she never was like, I needed this because I was homeless and like cold and I blah, blah, blah. Or like she was going to sell it for profit. Like, she never explained. She just said, can I have one? And it got big mad and then just proceeded to try to destroy her life. So I'm like, I don't really know if I support the redemption arc, because we don't even know like what her motives
were.
What
is being redeemed here?
What is being her redeemed? Being a mean she was person. Just being, all I saw was her being petty and crazy for the whole movie for no reason. Like, where do we rank that when they didn't give her a reason to be evil? It was just like, she just was bored one day. It was like, oh, I think I want a crystallite today. Like, let's go find one just, you know, for sport. Like,
I'd put her pretty high in the honorable mentions, just because, again, she almost succeeded with freezing these people out. So that was one of Laverna's.
I was about to say, literally, it was basically like Laverna in the third movie. Like, she was targeting that flower that would have just sent them into winter for 10 years.
At least that was only 10
and she
years.
She got very close, like literally succeeded. But you know, Barbie said, nope, we're going to turn this around.
Pretty much like the Gwilion too, because that Heartstone had like this a much sliver. A crystal left there. It was almost completely petrified. So,
which is crazy because we put Laverne up really high, but that's because she had other.
Oh yeah, she had like, two she other movies worth of exactly. Dirt. So
the Gwilion had like an hour and some change. And like, I was confused the whole time. So.
Yeah, so she definitely in honorable mentions, which being that that's our last person is currently going to put Laverna into number one spot so that we can put the Gwilion down in the bottom most five. I am copying and pasting her.
Because we have, when you add her, that'll be six.
Oh.
Because number, I don't know, we can pick it, but But yeah, Gwilion is a wild name.
Yeah,
and they kept saying it's the Gwilion, not just it's Gwilion.
So is like, Gwilion,
is Gwilion a
thing?
A type of like, is it a race?
Well, I mean, she did have one. She was some kind of fairy, so maybe, I don't know.
That's so we got butterfly fairy, we got crystal fairy, and then they just said
the Gwilion.
Gwilion, because we don't like them. They don't even deserve fairy.
They're like
name.
Oni or something. Like,
that's crazy. They said she's other.
So that is everything. We are going to take a minute to figure out how we want to put these in place. Is that something we want to do on camera, or do we want to cut that in the interest of time?
Yeah, because it's gonna be long anyway.
I mean, if it doesn't take us that long, then we can just leave it. But, yeah.
We could cut.
Okay.
Or just, like, we'll just talk now. And then, like, okay. If it's, like, crazy long, we'll just actually cut it. And if it's not, we can do it.
Okay, so after deliberating for like 20 minutes, we have our list. We are not married to it, but it's how we feel right now. Like, it's good enough for us to go ahead and consider this our list. So, do you want to just read it straight through and then go back through and say why, or just go through and explain why for each person? Like,
I guess we can do like reading through them briefly.
Okay.
Explaining, or should we start at the bottom or top?
We can start at the bottom.
Okay.
All right. So we have 15 names in total. Mm-hmm. With 11 through 15 being kind of like the honorable mention spot. Like, we watched the movies. We might as well throw them in here somewhere. So number 15, we have Kreider from, Princess and the Pop Star. 14, we have Lydia from, Diamond Castle. We have in 13th place, Aunt Marie from A Christmas Carol. 12th is Rothbart from
Swan Lake.
And 11, we have the Gwillion from
Mary Poppins and Fairy Princess.
Yes.
Right? Yep. Yep.
All right. You can take over for the...
Okay. So in our 10th place spot, we have Philippe from Barbie Three Musketeers.
And number 9, we have Henna from Mariposa and Her Butterfly Fairy Friends.
Number 8, we have Mother Gothel from Barbie as Rapunzel.
And number 7, we have Preminger from A Princess and the Pauper.
Number 6, we have Eris from the Mariposa, from the Mermaid Tale movies.
Didn't I do that too?
Yeah. The M's, bro.
And in 5th place, we're getting down to it now. In 5th place, we have Wenlock from Magic of Pegasus.
Mm-hmm. And 4th, we have Ariana from Barbie. Is it As the Island Princess?
I think so.
Okay.
And 4th place, we have... Wait, you just said that.
Yeah.
In 3rd place, we have Dame Devin from Princess Charm School.
In 2nd place, we have Rowena from Barbie... As the 12 Dancing Princesses? And the 12 Dancing Princesses?
And I think.
These naming conventions
are
inconsistent.
And in 1st place, drum roll please. We're not actually going to drum because that's going to be loud.
It's going to be crazy in the
mic. We have Laverna from all of the Fairytopia movies. And we were kind of like, how exactly do we... We ended up doing like a kill count while we were going through this bit of ranking. And... honestly, there were some people who killed or attempted to kill more people in this list, but it still didn't feel like justification enough to put them higher. Mm-hmm. So
that's part of the reason why we literally spent like 20 minutes deliberating, because we were like, Laverna as number one kind of feels like a cop out answer, only because she had more time to be evil, but at the same time,
she had more time to be evil, and it got worse in every movie. So. Yeah. Yeah, so that is our ranking, and we are going to go back to the 2020 list that we did and compare that, see what we were thinking then. Because back then, we definitely didn't take notes. It wasn't intentional for us to do a ranking. It just happened one day. So with having all these notes now, yeah, we're going to see. So let me pull that up.
Am I nervous? I feel like Laverna might still be number one or number two. She's in the top three for sure.
So our list from 2020 is in 10th place. We only did 1 through 10.
Yeah.
In 10th place, we had Preminger.
Okay.
9th place, we had Philippe.
Okay, he was close.
8th place was Rowena. 7th was Aunt Marie. 6th was Henna. 5th place was Dame Devin. 4th was Wenlock. 3 was Gothel. 2 was Laverna. And 1 was Ariana.
Wow, we really flipped for Rowena. She was number 2 this time.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow, Preminger was kind of close. Philippe was literally a place away.
We had watched, again, all of those movies and then did this ranking, but had no notes. So we were kind of like, it was still fresh because we watched all those movies. I think we might have said this in the last part, but we watched all of them in like a 10-day span or something. So it was back to back. It was still kind of fresh in our memory, but we weren't like actually cross-referencing notes. But yeah, that was...
Well, we had it up for Ariana. We were like, bro, she really tried to take out all the animals and killed
that,
the
that might have been it.
Actually, low-key, yeah, because she, I'm pretty sure we mentioned this, but it's been like a couple days now. But she did all of that and then poisoned the cake with the intention of just go ahead and taking out the rest of the royal family. So I can see why.
So that her daughter can get empowered.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough to just like have her daughter marry into. She was like, actually, just take them out. So like, I can see why we put her so high, but it's so funny. We said Rowena, she had a comeback. Not Rowena. Yes, Rowena. Yes. She's number two now. Interesting.
Yeah. So I think we'll put those both up side by side and just be like 2024 list, 2020 list, whatever. But yeah, we, this endeavor has been a lot more than I thought it was going to be. We, this has been so long. Like, this is such a long, this is going to take a lot of editing.
It's probably going to be longer than Ace Attorney.
Honestly, this is a bit much, but we had fun doing it. I did get a little just like tired after a while because of the like the technical issues we're having.
Probably talked about the plot too long for some of them.
Maybe.
But at the same time, like, we got to explain the villain's reason.
And we've never like sat down and had a chance to talk about this like this. So it's hard for me to organize my thoughts, I guess. It just all start coming out at once. That's just, that happens. It's like when we did episode two, the LGBT episode, I was like, I had notes, but I still had never verbalized a lot of these things. So like, once I went to open my mouth to say stuff, I was just like, I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't know if I'm getting my points across the way I wanted to, but yeah. So
I've never analyzed Barbie villains before. So,
so this was fun though. It was something we've been wanting to do. So I'm glad we finally got to do it. I hope that it was enjoyable. If you actually know these movies and you have a different ranking, we would love if you...
Yeah, feedback.
If you, yeah, tell us if we, where we were wrong, if you think we were wrong.
We were too and, heavy on some people.
And if you give us a crazy ranking, we're going to let you know if it's crazy or not. but yeah. This is also the first time we've ever done back-to-back week episodes because we didn't want to throw off our schedule of the rest of the stuff we had going on this year. So who doesn't love extra content though? So we do hope y'all loved it. And yeah, make sure to follow us at Related Note Pod on Instagram and X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search on a Related Note Pod, I think. And yeah, this will be coming out right after Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We hope you had quality time with your friends, your family,
quality
your loved
time,
ones.
Quality food.
Yes.
Quality laughs, and that's what y'all do.
And we hope that you remember to think about what you're thankful for. Yeah, so, and...
On that note.
Yeah.
Until we yap again.
Bye.